The reason why we decided to do this research was probably for three reasons. The first one is that we know that education matters a lot. If there was one thing you'd want to wish for your kids, it's a good education. And we know that it's the one thing that makes a difference to people's well-being throughout their lives. The second reason is that despite decades of policy, good intentions and a lot of funding, there's still not been no consistent improvement in how well Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids do at school. And so that suggested to us that policies aren't working. So the Productivity Commission, we're kind of like an evidence-based research advisory group. We wanted to have a little bit of a better look at the evidence base to try to work out what's driving this lack of improvement and what might work best to improve how well Indigenous kids do at school. The third reason we did this piece of research was that we were lucky enough to get access to a new national database. So when you're looking at how well Indigenous kids do at school, because they only make up 5% of the student population, unless you've got a national data set, it's very difficult to do some analysis. A lot of earlier work was looking at surveys. It's just not a large enough student cohort for us to really do some work. So we got access to this new national database, and it linked how well students are doing at school, so the NAPLAN results, with a whole bunch of student demographic characteristics like their parents' education, parents' occupation, and then a whole bunch of school characteristics, so level of remoteness, number of teachers, and percentage of the student population that are Indigenous kids. So they were the three reasons why we felt, one, the imperative to do the research, but two, we had access to some data to help us do it.
Does your research reflect a difference in performance between rural and urban First Nations kids?
So one of the questions that we asked was, where actually do Indigenous kids go to school? We know that educational achievement isn't as high the greater the remoteness of the schools. And I guess this is the one area of our research that really surprised us. When you think of what's been happening around education policy for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids, you think remote and very remote school communities. So we did ask and answer the question, where do these kids go to school? And the reason being that to inform policy, you really do need to know where the kids are going to school and what the distribution of Indigenous students are. And what we actually found was that most Indigenous students, actually 80% of them, don't go to school in remote and very remote communities. They actually go to school in metropolitan and regional parts of Australia. So while the gaps in achievement between Indigenous and non-Indigenous students are largest in remote areas, there are still really big gaps in how Indigenous kids are doing at school in metropolitan and regional areas. So just to give you a little bit of an idea, because 80% of the kids go to school in metropolitan and regional Australia, even though they're doing slightly better than Indigenous kids going to school in remote and very remote communities, because they're 80% of the kids, Indigenous kids, they're still accounting for 55% of the gap, so the difference between Indigenous and non-Indigenous primary school students across Australia. The other thing that we found was that while Indigenous kids attend schools, a lot of them attend schools with few other Indigenous students, and that's really important, because if you're wanting to tailor policy to get better educational outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids, you have to realise that for many of them, they're attending schools with only a few other Indigenous students. It brings us back to the importance of quality instruction and quality teachers to tailor for individual students if these kids are only a very small number of kids, Indigenous kids at the schools.
What do you think would be one of the explanations why Indigenous kids are not performing well besides some other socio-economic indicators?
I think it's fair to say that our analysis took us only so far. There is some more information about students in their schools, and the states do have that information. But a few things that we do know from our analysis. The first is, as you pointed to, that student characteristics, so the kids, their socioeconomic background, that does matter most for achievement. And the four factors that we found matter most for explaining the difference is the student's socioeconomic situation, the socioeconomic status of their school community, the attendance rate at school, and the school share of Indigenous students. But even when you take all of those factors into account, they still only explain about a fifth of the difference. We also know that schools matter more for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students in terms of how well they can do. From our look at the research about what works best, so in addition to the data analysis that we did, we know that all children have very different learning needs, and the key to lifting student achievement is high quality instruction that's really tailored to the individual. And our work really confirms this, because we know that our data only tells us about a third of the story. We can explain about a third of the difference between how well Indigenous kids are doing at school versus how well other non-Indigenous students are doing. So most of the unexplained difference is really about the difference between students. And so when you're then looking at, well, what might work and what might help, we know that high-quality instruction and tailoring for the needs of individual students is going to be important. The other key takeout that we have, though, is because we had this new data set, we could actually track the performance of students, Indigenous kids, at particular schools. And when we take into account all the data characteristics that we looked at and analysed, lo and behold, there were a bunch of schools that we call outliers. So these are schools that were punching above their weight. The Indigenous kids there were doing a lot better than they should be doing based on things like socioeconomic background, school attendance rates. So one of the things that we've recommended, which is a really sort of tangible and sensible thing that governments, state and territory governments, could do, is we know where these schools are. We should go and lift the bonnet on them and try to understand what's happening in these schools that's different and is making a difference. What's the secret ingredient in these schools that are making a difference for school students, for Indigenous school students? We know that the leadership of principals and good quality teachers can make a difference, but how do they make that difference? So that's why we think there's a lot of potential for governments identifying through these national data sets who are the outliers, who's punching above their weight, and then lifting the bonnet and see, well, what are they doing that's different? And then thinking, well, if it works here, could we roll it out to other schools?
There are numerous programs that have been implemented statewide or nationwide to improve, actually, to try and close the gap. Did you identify any of these programs that would be more successful than others, and which ones are they that could be possibly copied across the board?
I think one of the areas that we've identified where there needs to be more work is systematic evaluation of the policies. What's working and what's not. And that's an area where we've kind of identified a gap. The way that we would view it is get the evidence base right first, and we've gone some way towards doing that, and we think that there's more potential. The states have got some more data that would be helpful for us to link to the NAPLAN results, for example, around teachers. So the data that we were able to look at didn't give us any insights into teachers' experience and quality. So get the evidence base right. Also have a look at what is working, and we can tell from the data set what is working. I know that there are some other initiatives like the Smarter School initiatives in Northern Queensland. We had a little bit of a look at those in our report, but it was kind of really too early to say whether or not they were making a difference yet. I think from our perspective, it's get a smarter evidence base, inform the policy based on that evidence base, and then test what's working and what's not. So then it becomes sort of a circle of improvement as opposed to decades of no difference, which is pretty sad.
And what do you think would be done by the teachers? Because we've just seen that an individual teacher can make a difference. Teacher training and or even, I don't know how to even call it. What did the report show, and what could be done about teacher training?
Yeah. There's a lot of really good education research in this area. Around quality teaching and quality instruction. And a lot of it's about tailoring teaching to the individual student. That requires good quality teachers, very good quality leadership from the principal and the executive of a school, but also teachers having access to information and data about the students to help them tailor for them. The Commission actually has underway at the moment an inquiry on the National Education Evidence Base. That's a project that we've got underway at the moment. And that'll be important in terms of looking at what else might be needed for a National Education Evidence Base, not only to inform good policy going forward, but also to arm teachers with the information that they may need on their students to tailor better for them.
You mentioned some figures. Can you give us some other figures? Because it's always good to have a picture of actually when we talk about the gap and performances, it's always good to have some figures so that people can visualize what we are talking about when we're talking about this gap in performance.
Yeah. So the best proxy measure, or the best way we can look at educational achievement for primary school students, is to look at the NAPLAN results. So we had the NAPLAN results for year 3 and 5 across Australia, and that was what was linked to the student and school level characteristics. And we know that Indigenous school kids are much less likely to meet what's called the National Minimum Standard under NAPLAN for reading and writing and maths, so basically literacy and numeracy. So the gap is the percentage point difference between non-Indigenous students meeting the minimum standard and Indigenous students meeting the minimum standard. And the gap's quite large. So, for example, for reading, it's a 22 percentage point gap. So say if 95% of non-Indigenous Australian kids are meeting the minimum standard, 22 percentage points less than that, so 73% of Indigenous students, only 73% of Indigenous students would be meeting the minimum standard. So this is the minimum. This is not... Yeah. The other gaps are for writing. It's a 28 percentage point gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous students in Year 5 in 2014. And for maths, numeracy, it's a 22 percentage point gap. So these aren't immaterial gaps. We're not even talking 5 or 10 percentage points. We're talking 22 to 28 percentage points. And that story hasn't changed over time. It hasn't systematically... Or structurally changed or improved over the last sort of 20, 25 years, despite all these policy efforts.